It's Morning Edition on Iowa Public Radio. Good morning, I'm Clay Masters. John Darnielle is the songwriter and leader of the band The Mountain Goats. He headlined this weekend's Maximum Ames Music Festival, performing songs from his new record, Beat the Champ, a concept album on professional wrestling.
Born down in El Paso, where the tumbleweeds blow, to the middleweight champ of all Mexico. Dad fought many bloody battles, and he raised four sons. Chavo was the oldest one.
Darnielle, who lived for a stint in both Ames and Grinnell, is also an author. His first novel, Wolf in White Van, was nominated for the National Book Award last year, a fascinating tale of an outcast gamer whose face had been mutilated. He's with me. John, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, this concept record you put out earlier this year, why wrestling?
It's something I was really into when I was a child. It was a big thing for me, and I found it, you know, how you have things when you're a kid that you find sort of on your own, that was what I liked, was stuff that I would, you know, dig up that was mine. And I ran across wrestling on TV while flipping around. You know, in the days of UHF, you could find all kinds of strange or exotic or stuff from outside of your own frame of reference. And I didn't know anything about it. And I stopped on it, you know, late one Saturday night when I was 10 or so. And it was weird. It was really, wrestling was very weird in those days. And it was local, and it was bizarre, and I was really drawn to it, especially because as a very young child, I'd been horrified by violence. Anything you're horrified by is something that has a hook in you, right? And so I got into it there, and it was a point of good contact for my family, actually, going to wrestling, and I was really into it, but it was also kind of secret that I didn't really have any friends, or one or two who were interested in it. But so it was sort of a private pleasure for me for a long time.
Now, to somebody who is not familiar with your work, and you describe these last two pieces of work, the book and the new record, an eyebrow might get raised on the topics of both of these. But there are some similarities between both the book and the new record in that there are parts of you and things that you've experienced seem to speak out in both works.
Yeah, I mean, I think... when I was a younger writer, I'd spend a lot of time resisting that. You know, they tell you when you're 12 and you want to be a writer, well, you got to write what you know. And I would be so mad. I said, well, I don't know anything. How am I going to do that? I'll write science fiction, you know. But the truth is inverse, I think, that no matter what you write, some of you is going to come through in it. I think once you stop resisting that as a writer, at least for me, then cool stuff happens, because it means you're open to, if you're telling a story about, you know, a colony on the moon, still somehow you're in there that reflects you some way. So any story I tell, I'm open to the possibility that I'm going to come burbling through. But I don't try and put, you know, myself into it too much, because I've always had low patience for the overtly confessional, you know.
And your surroundings really have impacted your writing over the years. Your childhood, your time working at a mental institution.
Yeah, several.
Several mental institutions. Did Ames or Grinnell kind of sink into you at all? Was there anything that you got out of your time living in Iowa?
I'm actually working on a big thing with Iowa. This is going on. I haven't been, I mean, you're the first people outside of camp to hear about it. But I'm doing a big thing on Iowa. I have an office now in Durham where I live in North Carolina, but I spend a lot of time in Iowa. I right now have in the Iowa of my mind, I have, if you looked at the tabs on my cell phone, one of them is a list of Harrison County surnames. And I may actually complete my long-threatened project to memorize the names of the 99 counties this year. But yeah, so I'm doing stuff in Iowa. It's really interesting because Iowa is not, you know, some places have accents that people will do and that sort of will place you in that, and other places have landmarks. But Iowa, it's much harder to get a bead on Iowa and talk about what makes it special and what makes it different from even Minnesota and Nebraska, like that it's got its own vibe, but it's much harder to pin down. It doesn't have anything that leaps out like a strong Brooklyn accent or something like that. But fishing, I think, is a way in.
Do you care to tip your hand a little bit about, is it a book that you're working on, a new record?
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing I'm working on that has...
Never
that,
show your deck. Like,
yeah,
you can't show too much
because then people get expectations. Otherwise, I would talk with the people that, you know, will it be funny? Will it be dark? It's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of me in it. You know, it's... when you move away from Iowa, there's things you notice immediately, and there's other things you... Like, I've been here for, you know, just today, but it's just so much more quiet in Iowa. It's much more quiet than it is elsewhere in the world, right? You get more of that, which means you are experiencing life differently than other people are. This is true wherever you are. I don't think, you know, Iowa is unique and other places are not unique, but part of its flavor is an openness and a little bit of space.
You hold on, I cried, I'll
I'll be right there. Pull your mask down through your hair. They won't see you. Not until you want them to. That was when we were green and young. Battle cry rising from your tongue. Some things you will remember. Some things stay sweet forever. We'll be right back.